Luke Lafitte with us. We're going to take calls this hour. Machine Intelligence and the Imaginal Realm. That is his book, which has just come out. Fascinating discussion. Back with you and your calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. George Norrie with you. Luke Lafitte with us. We're talking about his work, Machine Intelligence and the Imaginal Realm. I keep thinking of the movie 2001, A Space Odyssey, with that computer HAL that seemed to have a human trait to it, Luke. Remember that?
Where it all changed. That movie, Kubrick and Arthur C. Clarke worked on it. And that's where we had a shift occur. And at the same time, we were also having two of our liberal icons, Bobby Kennedy and Martin Luther King Jr., killed. And in the book, I say there's a shift being made here in what machines are telling us. There's a big shift. Beforehand, machines are saying, well, like Robbie the Robot or Gort, Robbie the Robot from Forbidden Planet and Gort from When the Earth
Stood Still.
Yeah. You know, they're telling us it's all about sacrificing for the greater good. It's all about, destroying yourself if you can't handle the enigmas, if you can't handle the catch-22s. And then we get HAL, right?
Who almost seemed like he had a soul, didn't it?
That's exactly right. That's where we turn from the mechanical man, what I call the Old Testament of the mechanical man, to the New Testament of the mechanical man. We go from foreshadowing to being in reality and telling us who we are from 1968, 69 onward. And we haven't been listening to it. That's the call of the book. The call of the book is machines are telling us to listen up. We are it. We are the gods divine. We are the only ones aware. We are the only ones that have speech within our head where we can talk ourselves out of whatever or into whatever.
Are they almost like begging us?
They are.
Yeah.
I mean, because you have so many reiterations of it. How many matrixes do we need? How many dunes do we need to be told that fear is the mind killer?
Can any of this, Luke, backfire on us?
No. And if it does, it's going to be for a short while.
And it's our fault, I bet.
It's our fault. It's our fault because our intentions mean everything. Now you go back to the great writings of great Americans like Nathaniel Hawthorne and James Fenimore Cooper and Emerson, and they're telling us point blank how important it is our intentions and our subjectivity in what we create is so important because we imbue that invention with our intention.
That is so true, my friend. So true. I heard you grew up in Michigan.
I did, Dearborn, Michigan. I was right behind Michigan Avenue. I could cross over the railroad tracks and get to Highland Appliance. I don't know if many people know.
I know
Highland
it well
Appliance anymore. And the Crowley Mall. It was right there. And
my sister worked at Crowley's in her high school days.
I love it.
I grew up in Dearborn Heights. Right next to you.
I went from Dearborn. My dad worked for Ford Motor Company for 40 years.
So did mine. My dad would have been 99 tomorrow, by the way.
Oh, God. God bless
Gosh.
Him. May he rest in peace.
Absolutely.
For eternity.
But, yeah, he worked at Ford all his life as well.
Yeah. I always, I've never had an attorney in my family or anything. And I tell juries that. I say, look, there's nobody in my family that has been an academic or an attorney. But you know what? I came out of it, and so can you.
Now, where'd you move after Dearborn?
Well, after Dearborn, we got my father got transferred down to the Arlington plant here in Dallas.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
And that's how I got down here to the great state of Texas,
and
which
stayed.
I love.
That's good. Let's take some calls. They're lining up here for you as we continue
good
talking
deal.
About your incredible. By the way, you ought to be congratulated for the way your thought process is putting together this book, because that's not easy, and you did a great job.
Oh, I greatly appreciate that, and I appreciate, you know, it takes some conads to have me on your show with a book like this. So I greatly appreciate you.
Let's go to Mike in Denver to get us started. Hey, Michael, go ahead.
George, good morning. Thank you for
morning,
my call, and thank you for being here for all of us. It means a lot.
Absolutely. How's your mom doing?
She's doing okay. It's been a pretty tough time, but we're all hanging in there, thankfully. But again, thank you for always being here for us, George.
Absolutely.
It means a lot. And Luke, thank you so much for your presentation as well. Thank you for all the information. And I had a quick comment and question. So, Luke, when we talk about AI, something that has always really interested me is neural networks, which essentially, a computer, an artificial intelligence system that mimics or copies the network of a human brain. And, what I wonder about when we talk about AI is, could a computer ever develop consciousness? And, I think when Stephen Hawking talked about this, he alluded to the fear of artificial intelligence, becoming more than artificial and being able to have that intelligence think for itself as being a huge threat. And what I wanted to ask you about was the neural network aspect of this. Do you think that neural networks could be a gateway or could play a part in the development of AI developing consciousness?
No way. No, I don't think it will ever happen. And I think what will happen is that there will be a segment of the population that believes that they have consciousness, right? And that segment of the population will not understand what spirituality is. And we have a big segment of the population in the world right now that has no understanding of what the spiritual man is. And that's where the dichotomy comes into play, and where the focus is in my book. What is the mechanical man and what is the spiritual man? And they may trick us into thinking that they have consciousness, right? They may tell
they could.
Us that.
They could.
And what does that mean, right? It means that they're going to say, I'm aware, I have empathy, I have emotion. But that's going to be part of the program. And for those of us that can recognize that it's programmed into them to respond in that way, we will know that they don't have consciousness, but the large majority of people in the world will think, oh, wow, they're aware. They're aware, and we're aware, so they must be just like us. They're not. They never will be.
Luke, what kind of technology are we going to have 50 to 100 years from now? My gosh.
I really think that we're moving into becoming cyborgs. And that doesn't mean that we turn into AI machines or the Borg or anything like that. It means that we allow our technology to evolve us in such a way that the consciousness that we'll have then is nothing compared to what we're thinking right now.
No.
I mean, I tell this story. It's kind of like when Paul in the Bible had his experience on the road of Damascus, and the Roman soldier came up to him, and they couldn't even speak to each other because the difference of consciousness was so
broad,
blown
yeah.
away. Right. It was so different that they couldn't even understand each other.
Amazing times. I got to tell you, these types of technology that continues to flourish. I mean, can you imagine now you can take a picture on your phone and send it to me hundreds of miles away in an instant, and the picture shows up on my phone. I mean, it's amazing.
It's amazing, and Americans have been thinking about this great Americans like Nathaniel Hawthorne in The House of Seven Gables. He talks about photography and how amazing it is. And this is back in, you know, the 1850s, and when the daguerreotype comes out, and he's talking about how this picture can capture non-movement, right? And these people that we have, these great Renaissance writers from Emerson to Hawthorne to Cooper, we really need to resurface them and to bring them back into the public debate and the public talk.
I mean, I think a Polaroid camera is something in those days. Now it's boom, instant.
Boom, instant. I mean, what else will be instant? Whatever we want.
Anything. I mean, there's going to be a time, if we haven't gotten the technology already and we just don't know about it, you're going to be able to take a hologram picture of yourself and you'll be on my desk sitting here. We could be doing this interview with you where you are, but there'll be a hologram of you in my studio.
I'll be doing trials as a hologram.
Yeah.
From my home.
It's crazy.
Yeah, but
it's the next evolution of Zoom.
It's the next evolution of the space that we create in our heads. That's it. And that's the point of my book. Like, what is the next level of awareness and consciousness that we're going to? I mean, 2,000 years ago, it was allowing space in our head to talk to ourselves. What is it going to be in the next 10 years? Is it going to be allowing independence in our head to talk to other people telepathically? Probably. Or at the very least, George, to interface with people without them being there at all.
Absolutely. Yep. Cynthia's with us in Massachusetts, east of the Rockies. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi.
Good to have you with us. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm a person that has a disability, cerebral palsy, but I've never allowed it to interfere with my life.
Good for you.
Because I was told to keep up with my twin sister that had no disability. And it's difficult, but I'm still trying to advance myself as much as possible intellectually. And physically, I have mastered her abilities to look normal. But I still want to advance myself as much as possible. And I love advancement as much as possible because I absorb knowledge like a sponge. And I want to gain as much knowledge as I can get.
Cynthia, let me ask you this. If they came up to you one day, and they could very well do it sooner than later, and say, we can put a chip in your head, and your cerebral palsy will simply go away, you'll be like your sister, 100%. Would you do it?
I would possibly say yes.
How many people would say yes to that, Luke?
I hope everyone would. I hope that's a gift from your divine higher self to you.
So there's nothing wrong with wanting that kind of technology to interface with a human body, right?
No way at all. And I get tired of people talking about how, well, if you do this, you're not your original self. Oh, baloney. Baloney.
Right.
If you need to correct a problem that you think is preventing you from living quality of life to the fullest, you correct the problem.
I mean, some guy just got a pig heart or something like that. Like, it kept him alive.
Right, right. In this country, our foundation is built on doing whatever we can to manifest a better quality of life. That's it. That's it. That's what we've been built on.
Truly remarkable.
And boy, oh boy, we better do everything darn that we can to do it. And I really do, George, think that we're doing it. I know the media doesn't cover it. I know they hate Elon Musk. I know the media is not going to cover my book or anything like that, the mainstream media, but we are doing it. There's people and entrepreneurs that are bringing about big change. And, to tell your caller right now, hang on, dear, hang on, hang on. It's coming.
And you got to give her a lot of credit for fighting.
Look up Neuralink. Look up Elon Musk.
Yep.
And Neuralink.
It's happening.
It's happening, dear. So you'll be fine.
I just think it's amazing of the human mind that fuels the advancement. That's what fascinates me.
You know what? And I'll say that what fascinated me in the book was what powers we can harness with the human mind, and what powers we've already harnessed. So we go from electricity to atomic power, and even, I don't want to give away the end of my book, but even agape, unconditional love, and what that can do to bring about big change, huge changes. These are powers that we thought before were verboten, that they were mysterious. We couldn't capture them, and I'm talking about electricity and atomic power, and yet we did. We did.
Weren't people scared of electricity in the beginning because they thought things would happen to their homes and stuff like that?
Oh, they thought their homes would blow up. They thought everything would catch on fire.
And yeah. It didn't.
It didn't. And you know why, George? Because the intentions were correct. The intentions of people like Marconi and Tesla and Edison that looked into electricity, and go back to Ben Franklin as well. These people had an intention of lighting up the world.
Can you imagine the dark ages?
Destroying the world.
Can you imagine, Luke, what we'd be like without electricity? Nothing would function. I wouldn't be here. The show wouldn't be here.
No. I can't imagine. I don't want to imagine it, and I'm not going to.
I went into a drugstore a couple years ago in St. Louis. I go back and forth now between St. Louis and L.A. And the power went out in the drugstore, and they couldn't function. They couldn't use their cash registers. The younger people, I swear to God, the younger people could not add and subtract in their head because they're so used to a computer doing it.
Right.
And they just basically shut down. Everything shut down.
I've talked to a few people that believe that we're going to have what they call the great shutdown, where electricity just goes out.
We're concerned about the grid going out from a solar flare, for example, or something like that. But hold on, we're going to come back for a final segment, Luke. Luke Lafitte with us, his book, Machine Intelligence and the Imaginal Realm. We'll come back and take your final calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Luke Lafitte with us, our final segment, his book, Machine Intelligence and the Imaginal Realm. What's next on your agenda, Luke?
I don't know, George. I'll go back to doing personal injury trials after COVID has knocked me out for 2 years. It took me 15 years to get this book done, and I think I'm through writing for a while.
Just watch the technology unfold now for a little bit.
Well, I'm going to watch it unfold, and whatever calling I get from this great, great country of ours, whatever calling that I get, I will answer it in a heartbeat, in a heartbeat.
To the phones we go. You ready for more? Joe in Monterey, California. Go ahead, Joseph.
Yes. I was looking up a few things, and there's the Sapir-Whorf hypothesis, that what you think is how you experience reality, how your mind works. And there's a movie called Arrival, and it talks about this hypothesis, how these extraterrestrials, how their mind works, and they think in circular. In other words, when they express themselves, everything happens at once. And basically, maybe that's how the universe was formed. I was wondering, because of the technology and the language that that programs use, and we're starting to use that to abbreviating things, and our language is getting shorter and shorter, and it's getting more encapsulated. Because of this, our mind might be speeding up a little bit, and not thinking linearly, but circular. There are circular thinkers and linear thinkers. There's visual thinkers and audio thinkers, how the mind works. And in this movie, they were very visual and circular. In other words, the past and the present and the future was one, all at the same time. And that's quantum mechanics.
Luke, do you ever think the human mind, as Joe was hinting at, can ever change to the fact that it could just not grow anymore?
Well, Joe kind of nailed it on the head, didn't he? I mean, it's basically the mind or nothing. And no, there's no limit to expansion. If you're able to understand eternity and able to lean into that concept of infinity, then you know that God and human imagination will expand forever. Now, there may be a contraction where it contracts, like reductionists think. They're trying to reduce us to nothing. But the capacity for the contraction, that's gonna go on forever. And that's the term of eternity that I talk about in the book that we need to lean into. And we really need to start having real conversations about it instead of just ignoring it.
West of the Rockies, Jesus is with us in Guate, California. Welcome, Jesus. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, guys. My quick comment is, I forgot to tell Tommy, I was asking if he ever seen a couple of movies when they did the EMP. Isn't that the nuclear thing going on above you? Well,
yep.
That was about when everything loses energy. You know, I don't know about the series is all right, but the other one was The Road. Have you guys ever seen The Road? And my question is, that was after nuclear war, but my question is what are the chances, do you think, of Russia or China doing an EMP above us?
Well, that's always a concern. Also, there was a concern that North Korea could detonate a nuke high in the atmosphere to knock off the grid. That's one of the things that concerns all of us. That's a real concern, Luke.
I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't think it will ever happen. I think it's all a mind game that they're playing on us. They're playing a materialistic mind game on us. I don't think our overall oversoul that Emerson talks about will allow it. And I'm not naive about it. You know, I understand the circumstances, but it hasn't happened yet, and I don't think it will happen.
I hope you're right.
I think I am right. I think we will overcome it, because if we didn't overcome it, we wouldn't be talking here to each other right now. That's my point.
And The Road, by the way, was a 2009 movie with Robert Duvall about the post-apocalyptic world.
It was a great movie, but it got everything wrong.
Good old Albert Einstein once said, "Tell me if you think he was right about this." When someone asked him about World War III, I love this quote. He said, "I have no idea what's going to happen during World War III, except I'll tell you World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones."
Well, he's looking at everything as circular, right? Just like your guest said over the telephone, in a linear manner. I'm not looking at it as a linear manner. I think everything is happening right now. This is not a rehearsal for anything. The now is the now forever and all being. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word will always be with us, and the Word will always be creating reality, and our minds will always be above everything.
International Line, Andy's with us in Toronto, Canada. Hi, Andy. Things getting a little better out there?
Absolutely, George. Long time, by the way, George.
Good. Good to have you with us.
Okay, a couple points here for your guest, because I heard something that I'm very familiar with. I heard a little quote from the Frank Herbert universe. But before I get into that, question for your guest. I understand that the human body is not made for space travel, and therefore at some point we will have to adapt and become cyborg in some way, or obviously go into some sort of cryogenic free state so that we can travel the stars. What's his opinion on that? The second point is I heard a little Frank Herbert there when he said, fear is the mind killer. But the problem in the jiving his reality with what Frank Herbert was presenting was that there were the machine wars. And in Frank Herbert's universe, the machines are done away with because they take over and they suppress humans. And what ends up happening is we end up into expanding our human mind by using psychedelics and drugs.
Oh, boy, I can't top that. You just nailed it on the head.
I was going to say, take that one first, Luke, but he's got it, huh?
Yeah, let me take that one first. We have the ability to outlaw machines if we want, right? And then we go back to plants. And we go back to, the taking whatever we want from the plants that have nurtured us forever. Or the actual aliens that are mushrooms here on Earth, right? I mean, we have the ability to control it. We have the ability to control it. I mean, it's up to us if we want to control it or if we just want to be oblivious to it and say, just let everything play out.
What about cyborg astronauts?
Oh, I think that's going to come. I mean, it has to, right? I mean, we're going to branch out as our minds and consciousness branches out and becomes enlarged. Of course, our entire universe will become more enlarged. I mean, we're like children right now. I mean, the human species is like children, but we're going to branch out. We're going to become teenagers, and we're going to become adults, and we're going to take over the entire universe like we should.
We're entitled to.
We're entitled to it.
Let's go to Cornelius in Louisiana. Hello there, Cornelius.
Hey there, George and Luke the Duke Lafitte. We got a lot of Lafitte around here in Louisiana.
All right, my brother. I love it.
Lafitte.
I'm related to the pirates, Jean and Pierre.
Oh, listen there. There you go, George. We got a pirate on the ship.
Yep,
let the good times roll. We're Mardi Gras down here, so come on, George, Tommy.
We're making you walk the plank, Cornelius.
Yeah, throw me something, mister. Look, Mr. Lafitte, I'm a little bit different. They call me the God, Guns, and Gold Man, the Bible, Bullets, and Beans Man. My dad died of COVID-19. He was a Korean War vet. He studied biology and stuff when he went to school, and he studied about embalming. Now, he said if them people try to make us take this vaccine, it'd be probably the mark of the beast. Now, you've been saying different things about the Bible and stuff, and I like Cynthia, and of course, Mike, we got to pray for Mike. And George, I'm so glad you keep Art Bell on. They forgot about Rush Limbaugh, but you never forgot about Art. And I heard Annie on one of your best of shows, so I hope Annie's doing all right in Alabama because we ain't heard for her in months. But Luke, on what my dad was saying, because I've been exposed to the virus twice. I didn't get sick or anything. They're preparing us, like I said, for the mark of the beast, in my opinion. And I want you to, if you look at the Bible and Revelation, these chips they're going to put in our head and stuff like that, and I hope Cynthia doesn't get it, but I hope and pray that she'll be healed miraculously. So what do you think
about
that?
I'm going to tell you right now, I greatly appreciate that comment. And let me tell you right now that the Bible, to me, is the inerrant truth of God, and it's our autobiography. Our autobiography as human beings.
No doubt about that. But I'm not sure. I think the chip might be worthwhile to somebody who has some kind of disorder.
Oh, the chip will be all right, my friend. Let it play out. Let people cure whatever ailments that they have.
Now, I'm not going to get a chip to go banking and stuff like that. But, I mean, if it means it helps you out health-wise, I think you should go for it.
We have full control over three things: control, communication, and information. Human beings and consciousness has control over all three things when we're dealing with AI.
Would you get a chip if it allowed you to communicate with, let's say, a loved one instantly?
In a heartbeat.
You would do that?
In a heartbeat.
Wow.
I mean, how does that not advance my life? I mean, it does advance it. It makes it more interesting. And the bottom line of everything is we don't want boredom. We don't want banality. We don't want to be stuck in a room without other human beings that are made in our image.
Let's go to Melissa in Bristol, Virginia. Welcome to the show. Hi, Melissa. Go ahead.
Hi. I just want to make a few quick points here.
Sure.
And this is not directed personally at the author. It's just my beliefs after many years of studying this type of thing here.
Okay, that's fine.
You mentioned the Word, and it says the Word was with God and the Word was God. And that seems to be, there are some people in high places that, even though, and I'm not anti-technology, I've been in the healthcare industry about 30 years, and, you know, a lot of good has come from some of the advancements. However, it seems like where we're at now, certain people are looking to enslave man with it due to the fact they want to take God out of the equation and be God themselves. And that's happened several times throughout history. And one was around the flood when they got all this forbidden knowledge with the help of the demon spirits. And it just seems to me that the potential to be misused and to enslave man, you know, you're talking about eternity. I tend to want to think about, you know, eternity is forever. And besides, we can be helped right now temporarily, but your soul is forever, you know.
Okay, we got a minute left. I want to get your reaction to the possibility, Luke, of abuse.
The temporal and the eternity, you have to cross both of them and neutralize them. The possibility of abuse, it's always going to be there.
Yes.
Always going to be there. But the intention, and in this country, I always think, and you have to put, remember, the words in your mind that you tell yourself matter in manifesting things. And the Bible talks about this. You have to believe and have faith that things are going to turn out all right. And if you don't, guess what? Things are not going to turn out all right.
Exactly right. Luke, we're running out of time. I want to thank you for being on the show. Keep in touch with us, all right?
Well, I greatly appreciate you, George. Thank you for having me on.
And good luck. I hope you sell thousands and thousands and thousands of copies, maybe even millions. Up next, the forbidden archaeologist, Michael Cremo, joins us. Wait till you hear what Michael's got to say.